So this is the diabetes straw.
So there's, it's just a whole lot of pink balls almost.
Is that blue? I prefer
it to be blue.
So this is the little syringe that fits into the pump. So we draw
this is Fiona. Her daughter Harriet has type 1 diabetes.
Okay, I'm Harriet Wilkinson. I'm 11 years old and I have type 1 diabetes.
And if you want to say you're Fiona and you're Harriet's mum.
And I'm Fiona, I'm Harriet's mum.
So, Harriet, how old were you when you found out you had diabetes?
I was 6 years old and just about to turn 7.
There's an organ in your body called the pancreas that creates a hormone called insulin. That insulin breaks down the food you eat and turns it into energy. If your pancreas stops making insulin, it can't properly break down food into energy. Symptoms of diabetes include being really thirsty and really tired. And what happened that made you find out you had diabetes?
Well, I'd been drinking lots of water, and then one night I was really sick and we went to the doctors and I got checked my blood sugar and it was too high, and then we went to hospital for a night, and then we went home, and that's what's happened ever since. Like, I've had it ever since. Like, not like it's ever going to go away, but...
Nobody knows what causes type 1 diabetes, but there is no cure and it's not preventable. It's different to type 2 diabetes, which is caused by lifestyle factors such as being overweight or having high blood pressure. Type 2 diabetes can be managed with healthy eating and exercise, but it's the same idea. The pancreas struggles to make insulin. Of people with diabetes, about 15% have type 1 and 85% have type 2.
She thinks she's low, fancy that. So I've just got a little...
So Fiona is testing Harriet's blood, something they have to do a couple of times a day. They use a needle to prick a spot of blood on Harriet's finger and use what's called a glucometer to test her blood sugar levels.
Does it hurt anymore?
No, not really.
And she's 4.4.
What are you meant to be?
6.
Remember, people with diabetes don't have insulin to help them break down energy. To get a little bit more technical, your digestive system breaks down carbohydrates into glucose. Glucose is more easily recognised by your cells as a form of energy, and insulin helps transport this glucose energy to each cell via your bloodstream. When it reaches the cell, glucose is burned to produce energy. Without insulin, the glucose just kind of floats around in your blood. If you're a diabetic, there are two things that can happen. You can have too much blood sugar in your blood or not enough blood sugar. Too much blood sugar is called a hyperglycemic attack and usually occurs if you eat food and then don't follow it up with insulin. But the real worry is a hypoglycemic attack, or hypo. This is when blood sugar drops too low. Harriet, could you explain to me what a hypo is?
A hypo is when my blood sugar goes below what's meant to be, and there's not enough in my not enough blood glucose in my blood, and so I start feeling dizzy, and then I eventually, if we leave it too long, then I pass out.
And so, what do you need to do if you're having a hypo?
I need to have something sugary, like sometimes just a banana or sometimes mostly a popper.
For example, if you go for a run, your body is able to use stored energy to keep your blood sugar at a healthy level while you're exercising. For diabetics, their pancreas can't regulate their blood glucose level and they start to have a hypo. It's easily managed if you test yourself and you're below the right level, 6, as you just heard a moment ago, or if you can recognise the symptoms like mood changes, shakiness or paleness. If you don't pick up these symptoms, it can get pretty serious. In the later stages of a hypo, you can begin to slur your speech, not be able to drink or swallow, and you can lose consciousness. Remember, Harriet was 6 going on 7 when she was diagnosed with diabetes. Diabetes is difficult to manage among kids as is, just because it's hard for them to know the symptoms of a hypo and self-manage insulin injections and needles. But the real worry for parents of diabetic children is what happens when they go to bed.
Certainly in the early years, we would get up two or three times a night also to make sure she wasn't going too low in her sleep. So we would check her. If it was too low, we would have to wake her up and give her some juice or something sugary to try and bring it up a bit. If it was too high, we would often have to inject her while she was asleep with more insulin to try and bring it down to a safer level.
So what, your alarm would go off a couple of times a night to go into Harriet and check her levels?
Yes, we would often set a phone alarm, and if he got up once, then he would reset it, and we knew we'd have to get up again. He would reset it and put it under my pillow, and we would do that. We have had nights where we've got up every 2 hours probably.
He being Harriet's father and Fiona's husband, Ray. How did that make you and Ray feel?
We've had some very, very anxious times. Not so much now. We're a bit more confident with it all now. But in those early years, highly, highly anxious.
And sleep deprived.
Very sleep deprived and very protective, very just frightened, I guess.
And are you still testing Harriet's blood sugar at night?
Yeah, what are we? We're 4 years down the track now, and just last night I know Ray set an alarm to get up and check her because he wasn't happy with her level at 10 o'clock when we checked it before we went to bed.
Dead-in-bed syndrome is one of the major causes of death among type 1 diabetics under the age of 40. It's the sudden and unexpected death of a diabetic who otherwise appears healthy. Nobody quite knows what causes it, but nighttime hyperglycemia is one theory.
I think we're uncertain whether Harriet would wake herself up if she had a very bad hypo. And I guess at this stage still feel responsible for her if she's too high for the whole night, which is why we still do some nighttime checking. I think if we were confident that she would wake up before she got too low, we would feel more relieved. Or if there was some sort of way of us being alerted that she was going low, then we would not have to do nighttime checks.
So, Harriet, do you currently wake up if you have a hypo?
Normally if I am too low, I can't fall asleep. But if I am asleep and I go low, normally I can't really wake up.
And I'm Josh Nicholas.
Today, it's a Think collaboration between Think Health and Think Digital Futures.
We're going to be exploring a couple of different stories, all to do with how non-invasive medical technologies have the potential to change lives here in Australia. Before we go any further, you should probably know what non-invasive technology is. It's best described in relation to its binary. Invasive technology. That's something that you have to have surgery for, like a pacemaker. Non-invasive is gentler on your body. It doesn't require surgery, and in some cases, you can even hide it under your clothes.
To avoid waking up multiple times a night, Fiona and her partner Ray could use a type of invasive technology that would monitor Harriet's blood sugar.
There is a compatible continuous glucose monitoring device. It's an invasive way of continuously monitoring her sugar, though, so she's not particularly keen, nor are we, on having more needles or cannula, whatever they're called, in on her skin, and more tubing and more another pager-sized device for her to carry around. Other than that, the only one I've heard of is the dogs. People are training dogs, apparently, to pick up when people's sugars go low. And then the dogs come and alert mum and dad by licking them on the face. And yeah, I've heard of a couple of people who have had success with a dog, but we haven't really thought seriously about going down that path.
So that's where Harriet and her family are right now. They have to be constantly vigilant, making sure her blood sugar never goes too high and certainly never goes too low. But there are also people working on just this problem.
And I met a doctor. She has a 3-year-old boy at that time, and she get up every night, every 2 hours, every day to check blood. And I thought there would be a better way. And so that's why I went into how to essentially measure blood glucose without taking blood and continuously.
This is Professor Hung Nguyen. He's an Assistant Deputy Vice Chancellor at the University of Technology, Sydney.
We took a walk around Professor Nguyen's workshop at UTS. Just imagine workbench after workbench, spilling with wires and electronic parts that do God knows what. And there are all sorts of mad inventions as well, like a robotic hospital bed that can follow you around.
A wheelchair that is equipped with artificial intelligence.
Right. And we've even featured him on Think Digital Futures before, because he's made a robot that could play chess and tic-tac-toe.
So when Professor Nguyen started thinking about how to address this problem, he started thinking about all the other kinds of devices that people use when they go to bed.
When I start realize that the danger of hypo, I seen a device that if you snore, it will shock you. So I wore the watch for a few nights, and it's very painful. But
so the snoring watch was a bust. But eventually he hit on something that many of us have used before, just not in this way.
My technology work on ECG. So
what's
we,
ECG?
Heart signals. So you have electrocardiogram, you know, ECG. When you go to the doctor and they measure your heart, you know, they have a few sensors and they look at your heart. Cardiologists look into that and that sort of thing. So we have a system to measure blood glucose by looking at ECG. And from the heart signal, you actually can decipher the information of how blood glucose work.
Just so you can picture it, an electrocardiogram is where someone, usually a doctor or a nurse, will stick a bunch of electrodes to your chest. It measures the electrical activity as your heart beats.
It's that green monitor that is at the side of your bed in a hospital. And normally doctors and nurses are looking at the line going across the screen, searching for a pattern.
Are the spikes too high or too low? Is there too much space between them?
What Professor Nguyen realised is that this electrical signal can tell us other things about what your body is doing or experiencing. And maybe it could help to diagnose blood sugar levels as well.
What's happening is, when the blood glucose is going down low, right, when I go to a certain level, you start sweating. And it's actually causing the heart to respond. And from there, we look very deep into that very quickly, and we work out really, you know, when is hypo and so on.
From this original idea, it took 15 years for Professor Nguyen to actually make it.
It wasn't the mechanics that was hard. Judging by all the spare parts lying around his workshop, it probably wouldn't have taken him that long to knock something together. Rather, he spent that time gathering a bunch of data and training an algorithm to be able to read those patterns.
And this is what he came up with.
So this is the device. You put this one here directly on the across the chest, and it will communicate with that.
Oh, so you put it on kind of like an old heart rate monitor around your chest,
yeah.
You strap around your chest.
Definitely, something
so you,
like
you
that.
You just wear this at night?
Yeah, wear this at night, and it will tell you if your blood glucose is low, and it will alert the parents or anybody for you to take some sort of food.
So what we're seeing here at the moment is a device that fits in the palm of your hand and measures your ECG. When your ECG levels change, the device alerts the parent's smartphone that the child needs to be woken up and given something to eat to get their blood sugar levels back to normal. Although it's still a work in progress due to funding.
He isn't there yet. You can't yet buy any of these devices. But soon, someone like Harriet may be able to sleep just a little bit easier.
This device that this professor at UTS has invented, where it just sits on your chest and it uses your ECG to test your blood sugar, and it sends an alert to your smartphone if your blood sugar's low, so it's a non-invasive technology. If you had something like that, how do you think it would change your lives?
It would take enormous amounts of pressure off parents, and I guess as Harriet takes on more and more control as she grows older, which she is, it would also take enormous pressure off her. It would be a dream come true for us. So well done, Professor.